Today's scripture is Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Years ago, many, many years ago, in fact, I was reminded some over 30-something years ago when I was called, first called into the ministry. I had quite a few older men, older ministers giving me advice and encouragement. And one of the ministers said something to me that I will never forget. He said, whoever God calls, he equips. Whoever God calls, he equips. And he didn't say this one time, but whenever I saw him, whatever the conversation was, eventually he would say, whoever God calls, he equips. In fact, he said it so often and with such conviction that I thought it was in the Bible. And so I remember searching the scriptures for the words. Whoever God calls, he equips. Whoever God calls, he equips. Well, beloved, while I didn't find those words exactly in the Bible, I think the principle is clear. God equips his people for the mission. When God calls you, he equips you to fulfill the calling. And one of the ways that he equips to fulfill the calling and the mission that he gives us is that he gives us help. He sends us help. He equips us with each other. In other words, when God calls us or God commissions us, he never calls us alone. He never calls us to mission by ourselves. Moses had Aaron. David had Jonathan. Even Abraham had Sarah. Joshua and Caleb. Barak had Deborah. There was James and John, Peter and Andrew, Paul and Silas. When Jesus, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, that when Jesus sent out his disciples, the Bible tells us that he sent them out in pairs, two by two. He does this because ministry partners are important, even necessary for success in the mission. They offer each other encouragement, and they offer each other support. They offer each other counsel. They provide for each other accountability, safety, and reassurance. It's what the Bible reminds us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, doesn't it? Tells us that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. From time to time, I am asked, how long have I been pastor of East Point Church? And I always respond with the words, we planted East Point Church in 2008. Now, the key word there, beloved, is we. we. The partnership and the camaraderie and the vision with Pastor Phil and Alan Bino and their wives and families. These were the gifts and the callings of God that he used to start East Point Church. And my role as lead pastor is just that. My role. It's important, yes. It is necessary, yes, but no more important or necessary than any other for the fulfillment of the mission. In fact, as far as I am concerned, there is no East Point Church without Philip and Allison, Alan and Michelle, Stephen and Kimberly, and so many, many others who, in the grace and goodness of God, co-labored and partnered to bring the vision that is East Point Church to pass. It reminds me even this morning that God never calls us by ourselves. And even when he called the Apostle Paul, he gave Paul partners, co-laborers, faithful friends, brothers and sisters in the work of the ministry. He gave him Barnabas and Silas, John Mark, Luke, Lydia. And yet, beloved, none were more crucial and more beloved and therefore important to the Apostle Paul than was the beloved Timothy. God sent him Timothy. Beloved, the calling of God requires sacrifice. Don't ever think that following God's will cost you nothing. To follow God's will, to follow God in mission, ministry means sacrifice. That's what ministry means. And I'm not just talking about those formally ordained to the ministry. I'm talking about all who have been called by the name of Christ to follow after Christ. I mean anyone and everyone who dares to go where God says go and do what God says do, expect a cost. Expect a cost. That's what Paul told the Philippians, right? In chapter 1. In verse 29, where he says, for it's been granted unto you not only to believe in Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Why? Because ministry costs. Following Christ costs. And those who would, as we said last week, who would be light in the darkness, those who would hold firmly to the word of life, you know what they're going to find? You know what you will find? You will find, like Paul says in chapter 17 of chapter 2, that you will find yourself as Paul did on the altar of God's will, poured out as a sacrifice of faith. Your life poured out as a sacrifice for faith. This is the calling. This is the calling, and it is not easy. This is the calling because this was the calling of Christ. That's what Paul says. His whole point in this whole section. It was so that you should know that the calling requires sacrifice. Yours going to require sacrifice. Mine requires sacrifice. Why? Because Christ required sacrifice. Isn't that what it says in chapter 2 and verse 8? That Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Why? This is the calling. This is the ministry. You humble yourself. You sacrifice. You're on the altar for the faith. And in fact, beloved, this is not only the calling. The only way to find joy in this calling is to realize, is to look around and realize and give thanks for the fact that you're not doing it alone. I don't know how they do it. How you live your life as a Christian all by yourself? I doubt you're doing it. It's not the calling. It's through my sacrifice. If you're doing it by yourself, it's because you're not making the sacrifices. If you're walking in the calling, you're always looking around for others who are walking, who are sacrificing too, so that you know you're not alone. And so Paul, therefore, could rejoice. That's why he rejoiced. He rejoiced not because he longed for the hardship. He rejoiced because in the midst of the hardship, he wasn't alone. He wasn't alone. And Paul could rejoice in his sacrifices because he knew his sacrifices were not in vain. Because he looked around and he saw that he wasn't alone. The church in Philippi was with him. But more importantly, he looked, and every time he turned to one side or the other, you know who he saw? Timothy. He saw his beloved brother and son in the faith. He saw Timothy. The church in Philippi was dear to the Apostle Paul because they were more than just fellow churchgoers. They were friends. They were family. Timothy was not just a friend. He was family. He was in the faith. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. The Bible says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Timothy was that for the Apostle Paul. And to read how Paul spoke of Timothy is to be reminded of what it means to be called into the ministry of the gospel and what it means for his the disciples of Christ to look like him this morning. This was Timothy. He was profitable to the Apostle Paul. He was profitable in the ministry. You might even say indispensable. Why? Because Paul cherished him. He cherished him because Timothy was what we all should be striving to be. And what is that, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Timothy was faithful. Faithful. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness, beloved, is being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, doing what you're supposed to be doing. Being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's faithfulness. And this was Timothy. Because Timothy was where he was supposed to be. Because faithfulness is presence. It's being present where your feet are. It's being there. Timothy, where was Timothy? Timothy was with Paul. That's where he was. With Paul. With Paul. And Paul met Timothy. He first met Timothy right before he set out in Acts chapter 16 on his second missionary journey. Just before they would leave and eventually go to Philippi. And this is where Timothy started out with Paul. And not only did he start out with Paul there, but then from then on, he stayed with Paul. He was always with Paul. It seemed every time Paul mentioned his own name, he also mentioned the name of Timothy. When he wrote to the Colossians, Timothy was there. When he wrote his letter to the Thessalonians, Timothy was there. When he wrote his second epistle to the Corinthians, Timothy was with him. When he begins the letter to the Philippians, how does he begin the letter to the Philippians? He begins with these words, chapter 1, verse 1. This letter is from Paul and Timothy. Because in the ministry, beloved, there is no substitute for presence. Just be present. You don't have to be gifted to be present. You don't have to be talented to be present. As Woody Allen said, 80% of success is just showing up. Just show up. Just be there. That was Timothy. And when Paul needed him, he was there. He was there. He was there. He was there when Paul wrote the letter to the Romans. Chapter 16 and verse 21. What does Paul say? Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. Can you imagine, beloved? Can you imagine? Every time Paul looked up, there he was. Others came and others went. But every time he sat down to write, he looked up. And there was Timothy. And there was Timothy. Faithfulness is presence. But it's not just presence. It's perseverance. It's perseverance. It's perseverance. Faithfulness is not just a good beginning. As our brother Tripp Lee would say, the victory ain't the one that's winning seventh inning. Trophies don't go to the one that's got a good beginning. No, beloved, faithfulness is staying at the task. You don't just start the task, you stay at the task. It is being consistent in the little things, as Jesus says in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. It is being consistent in the little things, serving when no one else is looking, giving when no one says thanks, teaching when no one shows up. Going when it seems nobody else wants to go. It's being faithful, faithful, faithful in the little things. Faithfulness, beloved, is not just starting. But faithfulness is knowing that the mission is enduring until the end. Isn't this what Jesus told the church in Smyrna? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. It is presence, but it is continued presence. It's not just showing up. It's staying by the task. It's staying by the stuff. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16 that Timothy began with Paul. And then it reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9 that Timothy was there with Paul in the end. He was there in the beginning. He was there in the end. Because faithfulness, beloved, is not just hearing God, not just hearing the Lord say, come. Faithfulness is hearing the Lord say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. Because the victor isn't the one that's winning seventh inning. Trophies don't go to the ones that got a good beginning. Winning is finishing. Faithfulness is finishing well. Finishing well. That's Timothy. That's Timothy. That's Timothy. He was with Paul. He was faithful. Because he was present, he was faithful, because he persevered. But not only was he faithful, our text reminds us also that he was available. Right? I mean, a very important component of faithfulness is availability. We've all heard the saying, the best ability is what? Availability. Availability. Paul, notice what Paul says. Paul writes to the Philippians, and what does he say? He promised to send Timothy to the Philippians. I promise. I'm sending Timothy. I'm sending you the best I got. And he tells him twice. Twice he says it in this section. I'm going to send him. I'm going to send him because I want news, and I want him to bring you news. Because Timothy was not just with Paul, beloved. Timothy was ready to serve. Timothy was trusted. He was trusted. And that's what being available to God does, beloved. It builds trust. It creates confidence. And Paul was confident that Timothy would be faithful. Why? Because that confidence comes by way of experience. I have confidence that you're going to do what you say you're going to do because I've seen you do what you say you're going to do. This is Timothy. This is Timothy. This is Timothy. Paul had no problem sending Timothy because Timothy had proved himself over and over and over again. Timothy knew what the mission was. It had no greater joy. He had no greater joy than the serving the mission and the message of the gospel. And Paul had no concerns about sending Timothy. Sending Timothy, he did on several occasions. He sent them over and over again. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 22, the Bible says that Paul sent his two assistants, Timothy and Erastus, ahead to Macedonia while he stayed back. sent Timothy ahead. No problem, no qualms at all. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, where he says, we sent Timothy to visit you. Had no problem in Timothy representing us. Had no problem in sending Timothy out to preach the gospel. Had no problem in sending Timothy out to encourage the saints with the gospel. No problem at all. To send him out to strengthen the church, to encourage the church. No problem at all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, what does he say? For this reason, I have sent you Timothy. Over and over again, beloved, I have sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love and who is what? Faithful in the Lord. That's what it means. He's available. He's ready. He's present. And he's available. And even now, when Paul is in prison and he's writing to the Philippians, what does Paul say? I have Timothy here, and he is ready right now to make the 40-day trek back to Philippi for the sake of Christ. It's being available. It's being available, beloved. And in fact, availability is the only proper response to the cross of Christ. I mean, beloved, listen. Those who have really been saved, those who have been radically changed, those who experienced the life-changing grace of God, those who say like John Newton said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Those who say, like the Apostle Paul said, I once was a blasphemer and unworthy to be called an apostle. Those who know, like Isaiah said, that I am lost, I am unclean, and I live among an unclean people. Those who can say that and then know that it's the Lord who saves them. It is the Lord who raises them. It is the Lord who picks them up and turns them around and places their feet on a solid ground. What is their response to that? Their response is Isaiah's response. Here am I. Send me. I'm available, Lord. I'm available. Their response is Paul's response in Acts chapter 22 and verse 10 when the Lord knocked him down, changed his heart. And Paul said, what? What you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? God gives faith so that you and I would be faithful. So that you and I would be available. So that we would with joy make ourselves available. And Timothy was ready. He was always ready. He was always available. You know why, beloved? It's because Timothy loved what God loved. He loved what Christ loved. I like when people tell me they're too busy. You know why? Because no matter how busy we are, we make time for the things and the people we love. No? Somebody call me and say, hey, Pastor, can you play some golf on such and such day? Phil, we checking the schedule. We try, we gonna try to make that work. Somehow, some way, can something get postponed? Can something get switched around? Can I possibly, Brother Brown, get out of that? Will they understand? No matter how busy we are, beloved, we make time for the things and the people we love. And notice what Paul says about Timothy. Verse 20. I have no one else like him who genuinely cares. Who genuinely cares about your welfare. He is not going to be too busy for you. Whatever else we have going on, Timothy is not going to be too busy for you. As he loves you. He loves you. And his love was for the church. And Paul says, it's unlike anyone else I have. It's unlike anyone else I have. It was the love that he had seen in Paul. It is the love that he had been taught in Christ. To love Jesus, beloved, is to love the things that Jesus loves. To love Christ is to love the ones whom Jesus loves. Someone asked me once why I chose pastoral ministry when I was in seminary. And my first thought in going to seminary was not pastoral ministry. I saw how difficult that was, how trying that was. I wanted to sit in an office in a college campus and teach and watch football games and go to basketball games. And then I discerned something as I kept reading my Bible. And I discerned how much Christ loved the church. And I wanted to love what Christ loved. I wanted to be where his love was on display. And if the local church is good enough for Paul, is good enough for Timothy, is good enough for Jesus, is good enough for me. You make time. You make time for the things and the people you love. Timothy was available to Paul because he loved Paul. Timothy was available to the church because he loved the church. Timothy was available to Christ because he loved Christ. He was faithful. He's available. You got it. He was teachable. That's right. He was teachable. Paul said about Timothy, what? I have no one like him. I have no one like him. There is a uniqueness to this young man. And I love Luke, he says. I love John Mark. He loved Silas and Barnabas, but his relationship to Timothy was unique in that in chapter 2 and verse 22, he referred to Timothy as his son. His son, his son. Why would he refer to Timothy as his son? Because he met him as a young man. And as a proud father would, he watched Timothy grow. And Timothy grew, beloved, because Timothy was willing to be taught. There was probably nothing more encouraging to the Apostle Paul than to come across this young man who was willing to be taught, to hear the truth of Christ, to attend to the truth of Christ. He had learned from his mother. He had learned from his grandmother. And now he was learning from the Apostle Paul. And that's what Paul told him. Didn't Paul remind him of that? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, You, Timothy, have followed my teaching. You have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. You have listened. You have learned. You have watched. You have been taught and you have caught. But Timothy was teachable. And he could be trusted then. He could be trusted because he wasn't a know-it-all. He wasn't a know-it-all. Timothy wasn't a fool. But he listened to his father. Listened to his mother, as the proverb says in chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Paul called Timothy his son because Timothy listened. He called Timothy his son because Timothy followed. He called Timothy his son because Timothy was teachable. And therefore, he was no fool. He was no fool, that the Bible says. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 12, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Beloved, Timothy was no fool. He knew what he had in the Apostle Paul. And he listened, and he listened, and he listened. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, fools think their own way is right. But the wise listens to others' advice. Listens to others' advice. This is Timothy. He was no fool. Timothy was teachable. The teachable spirit is the humble spirit. The teachable spirit is the humble spirit. And again, this is the major point, is it not, of this whole section of Scripture, where we are called to have the mind of Christ. And that mind of Christ is the mind where Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto God and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Paul says, I got one of those in Timothy. He's humbled himself. He has a humble spirit. He has a Christ-like spirit. He has, as the Bible says about Caleb in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, Timothy had a different spirit. Just different. Different, beloved, different. That's what Paul says. If you are going to be light in the darkness, if you're going to hold firmly to the word of faith, guess what? You're going to be different. Timothy was different, says, have no one like him. There's uniqueness to him. There's a uniqueness to his spirit. Because he's humble. He listens. He's humble. He's teachable. He has a different spirit. A different spirit is a spirit of submission. A different spirit. A different spirit is a spirit of obedience. A different spirit. A different spirit is a spirit of self-control. A different spirit. A spirit of patience. A spirit of devotion. As Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Timothy, you have a different spirit because you have a spirit of power. You have a spirit of love. Timothy had a spirit of faith because he was filled with the Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Timothy is full of the Holy Spirit. He had a different spirit because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, what the fruit of the Spirit is? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. How do you know someone is filled with the Spirit? Because when they're filled with the Spirit, they're going to be faithful. Because faithfulness is the fruit. That is the evidence of the Spirit. The evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit is that they're more kind. They're more loving. They're more patient. Don't stop there. The evidence is that they are more faithful. 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 He shows up when he says he's going to show up. She does what she says she's going to do, because the Spirit of God produces faithfulness. And the reason, beloved, that the Spirit of God produces faithfulness is because the Spirit of God is faithful. Faithful. The Spirit of God is faithful. That's what God is. That's what God is. God is faithful. That's the point. That's the point. It's not just about the faithfulness of Timothy, but the presence of Timothy was evidence of the faithfulness of God. It is not about the faithfulness of Timothy, but the evidence of Timothy was the evidence that God had been faithful. And he is, beloved, over and over again. God is faithful. What do we want in our friends? Faithfulness. What do we want in our families? Faithfulness. But, beloved, I want to submit to you this morning that there is nothing more important to have in your God than faithfulness. Faithfulness. Of all the attributes of God, none is more important to our everyday lives than to know and trust that God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. God is faithful. He is faithful to do what he said he's gonna do. Did he say that he would save you if you called upon his name? He's faithful. He's faithful. He's not only faithful to do what he says he's going to do, he's faithful to be where he says he's going to be. Did he say he would never leave you nor forsake you? He's faithful. But not just, beloved, to do what he said he's going to do and to give what he said he's going to give. Now, beloved, listen to me. Did he say that he would give you peace in the midst of a storm? Did he say that he would give you power from up on high? Did he say that he would come when you called on his name? The old saints would sing a song. We don't sing it anymore. When I was growing up, they used to sing it all the time. Jesus is on the main line. We don't sing anymore because we don't have main lines. He's on the mobile line. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. If you're sick and you can't get well, tell him what you want. Beloved, he will do what he said he would do. He will be where he said he would be, and he's going to give what he says he's going to give. Call him up. Call him up. You know why you can call him up? Because we call him faithful. We call him faithful. We say our God is faithful. Faithful he is. And faithful he'll be. Somebody say yeah. 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 Hallelujah. Let's pray.